Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. Acts chapter 20, beginning verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's all I'm going to read right now. We named this assembly building that we have here the Sovereign Grace Chapel. And we did that on purpose. A lot of people may not understand the difference, but I think we do. In the scriptures, the word church has been translated from the word ecclesia. The church of God, which Paul is referring to here, is the people of God. That's what the church is. The ecclesia. I'm not against places being named churches. The place we were at before this was called Calvary Baptist Church. But when it came time to move and to rename this assembly, we used the word chapel, and we did it on purpose because we don't want to have the confusion. Most people think the church is the building. The church ain't the building. The church is not the denomination. A lot of people go that way. Oh, because I go to a Lutheran church here, and then I come down to a Lutheran church in Georgia, and they think it's going to be pretty much the same, and maybe it is. But that's not the church, according to the scriptures. I want to be clear on this. The chapel, a chapel, is a place. The church is his assembly. The church is made up of believers. We believers are the members, in particular, of his body. That's also the scripture says. The church is his body, and it is made up of many members, not many buildings. He, Christ Jesus, is the head of the body, which is also what the church is called, which we believers are, his body. And he is our head. So, I want to preach Christ this morning, but I want to preach about the church. This is the title, Paul. The church purchased. Purchased. Now, I'm not going to keep you long, and I'm not going to preach anything new, because all this stuff is pretty old. It's the old story, and it doesn't change, and it never will change. But I began reading with the last verse of the former paragraph where Paul had been talking to these Ephesian elders. He called them to come to him. He was on his way to Jerusalem. He couldn't make it to Ephesus, but he wanted to talk to them. And this is what he ended his statement to them, this paragraph here. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. First thing I want to point out is that Paul called the Ephesian elders plural. Having more than one elder in an assembly seemed to be normal in those days, Walter. But he was telling these people, these elders, these overseers, I preach to you who and what Jesus Christ has revealed unto me. I kept back nothing profitable. Nothing profitable. You know, some people say we shouldn't preach some things to sinners. Maybe you ought not preach election. That's usually what comes up. I believe election, but I can't preach it. People say that. Now, I know why they won't preach it, and so do they. I'm not going to really go into it now, but they're afraid that people are going to get mad at it and leave and cut down on their numbers. This is what some preachers worry about. But I can tell you this, Paul preached to these Ephesians, election. He preached unto them, I was listening to a sermon by Henry Mahan the other day on Ezekiel. He was preaching on Ezekiel and his very dry bones. And he made this point. And what he said was, Ezekiel preached to those dry bones, to those very dry bones, two things. He preached the word of the Lord, which is what the Lord told him to preach. But here's the word of the Lord to those very dry bones, dead dry bones. I will, and you shall. That's it. God will, and you shall. We ought not preach the sovereignty too hard. People can't take it. Sinners won't like it. Of course they won't like it. Jesus Christ preached it, and they left him. But he preached it nonetheless. Because those that would hear him will listen to what he has to say. He told those dry bones, Ezekiel did, what God said. God said, I'll cause breath into you, and you'll breathe. You'll breathe. If God puts breath into you, you'll breathe. I'll lay sinews and flesh and skin and put breath in you. And you know what? You shall live. You shall live. The sovereignty of God is not in question. Except from seriously too many pulpits. In the Bible, the sovereignty of God is never in question. He wills and you shall. The difference is, believers love to have it that way. You understand? I don't want to be in charge. Not of your destiny, not of your end, or mine. I don't even want to be in charge of mine. Why? Because I also believe that thing about there's none good, no, not one, and that means me. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. And I still don't naturally. But by His grace, He wills, and I shall. And that blesses your heart if you know Him. That blesses your soul if you're a sinner. Because you understand, we're going to try and preach a God who saves. Not one that's trying to save. Not one that's made salvation possible. Not even, what was the new word? Not even one that's made salvation available. No, no. I need a God whose arm is not short that He cannot save. I need a God who can save. And that's what Paul declared to these Ephesians. And he says, I didn't shun to tell you anything that God had told me. There's the counsel of God. He will, and you shall. But then he says this. This is what I want to talk about. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock. I love how Paul wrote this. Well, Paul said it. Luke wrote it down, what Paul said. Take heed. He's talking to the elders now. Take heed unto yourselves. And the flock. You understand? Pastors, preachers are no different than the flock. We are members of this assembly. And I need to take heed for myself and for the flock, but I got to take heed for myself. Take heed. What's that mean? Pay attention. Pay attention. Think about what you're doing. Think about what you're saying. And yes, I will admit, I have a great deal of problem with that sometimes. Too much comes out of my mouth without enough up here. But the elders' needs are exactly the same as the flock. The elders' needs. You know why I say that? Because the elders are in the flock. They are part of the flock. Now, I do want to mention this about the word flock here. Because I got to looking at it. And whenever you start talking about the flock of God, you start talking about the flock. It's talking about, it's a reference to sheep. Okay? So, what do you think of? I am the good shepherd. John 10:16 says this, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall, I will, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Well, I was looking at this, and the first fold in that statement, he says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, that's one word. But when he gets down to the other part, there shall be one fold and one shepherd, that word fold, there's a different word. The first word is fold. It's a place, a gathering for the sheep. It could be in a court, or, you know, a courtyard, a yard. But the second word, the actual word translated here from the Greek is the exact same word that Paul uses here. He says, other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one, and the word is this, flock, and one shepherd. I like that. I like that. Because you understand, the flock moves with the shepherd. You understand? And it's the shepherd's responsibility to keep the flock together. Amen. Now, yes, we are to be overseers. We are to be bishops. Now, it does say overseers and not overlords. Bishops, pastors, teachers, we are to be that. But there's only one flock. There's one fold, and there's one flock, and there's only one good shepherd. And I'll throw this in for free. Did you ever think about that where he says, this is the words of Christ, he said, I am, okay, the good shepherd. Now, did you ever think about that in relation to when he spoke to that rich young ruler, the one who had many goods, and the one who kept the Ten Commandments up for my youth? No, he didn't. But anyhow, that young ruler came to Christ and said, good master. And Christ looked at him and he said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. Now, what is he saying here? I am the good shepherd. There's none good but God. There's none good but God. Jesus Christ told us He was God. And I'm going to tell you something. He's God's shepherd. And we are the sheep of His pasture. We are the sheep of His fold. And we are the sheep of His flock. And He's bringing in His sheep. I like that. And it says here also, Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made thee overseers. First Timothy 3:1 said this, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, the overseer, he desireth a good work." But here's the truth also. That's true. It is a true saying. It's the Holy Ghost that makes overseers. We are not to take things to ourselves. We have the guidance of this book and the Spirit of God. And we are to be overseers, again I'll say it, not overlords. I know people who say, "I'm Lord in my house and my church." Pastors have said that. Well, I'm not. I'm not in either place. You really want to know the truth about it. Here's the thing. I'm not to be Lord. I've got a Lord. We have a Lord. I'm to be an overseer. Paul said it. The Holy Ghost makes overseers. In Romans, he asked the question, how shall they preach except they be sent? The Holy Ghost makes overseers. But he makes them for a purpose. To feed the church of God. That's what my statements were. That's why I picked that song this morning. The church is one foundation. Is Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only foundation we have. That's the only foundation we have. And when it says that in that song, the church is one foundation, that is His body. That is the body of believers who know Christ, who have been had Christ revealed to them, and they believe Him. We are to take care of the church of God. And that word to feed, this is another word relating to sheep. The word is to tend my sheep, to tend the church. Take care of the church of God, the people of God. The overseer, the bishop, the elder, the pastor, teacher is to tend to the needs of the assembly of God. Now there's another word where it just flat out says feed, fodder, pasture. This word is more than that. This is to tend. This is to care. Excuse me. This is to bind up wounds, to watch over the sheep, so that they don't injure themselves. And this includes themselves also. We are our own worst enemies most of the time. I don't normally need any help getting into trouble. I tell people at work, and they sort of think I'm joking, and I sort of am, but I'm not. They ask me how I'm doing. I said, well, I'm trying to stay out of trouble. And then I look at them, I'll say, that's a lot harder than it sounds. And I mean it. Because I know, to a degree, how much trouble I can cause myself. But this word means to tend. And you can't tend the flock of God without feeding it. It's not possible. That is part of it. It is part of that word. So how is the church of God fed? Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. What did he just say before this? Where he says, feed the flock, feed the church of God. I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. I don't know exactly how to say this other than flat out. The bishop, the pastor, the preacher is not the primary job of the overseer is not to feed the world. It's not to tend to the world. It's to tend to the church. I know there are a lot of people, and they talk a lot about social justice, and I'm glad somebody is. But you understand, social justice has never saved anyone. Christ saves. Christ alone saves. And you understand, when you're talking about the church of God, you're talking about believers. Trust me, we've got the world all around us. This is where we gather to hear about our Lord. This is what we are concerned about. And when I talk to Walter on the phone, or we text back and forth with Paul and others, I want to talk to you about Christ. Because I can't talk to anybody else about Him. Well, I can, but it's like, you know, having the conversation with this wall. They don't get it. They don't understand it because they don't know Him. Paul tells us in that previous verse, declare the counsel of God, and here's the counsel of God, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because all the counsel of God is a person. All the counsel of God is the person of God, God manifest in the flesh. We don't know anything about the Father apart from what the Son tells us. Amen. And we don't know that very well. Like I said, the primary job of the overseer, of the bishop, of the pastor, is to feed the church of God. Now, we will preach right now, up there. We will preach to anyone who will listen. We will speak. Anyone here is welcome to come here to hear us preach. But you understand, it's only food for believers. To some, we are the savor of life unto life. To God, we are the savor of life unto life. And to others, we're the savor of death unto death. There are not two messages, one for the church and one for the world. There's only one message, Jesus Christ, Him crucified, and Jesus Christ who saves sinners. If you don't know you're a sinner, I can't help you. But we are to preach Him, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified, and that... this is food for the believer. Because that's food for the church of Christ. The church of God. And now we come to this part where I got stuck a little bit. Which He... He hath purchased with His own blood. And the He being God. God has purchased His church. And I looked, and it is definitely in the past tense. You understand, God is not purchasing His church now. He purchased it. We're talking about redemption here, folks. I'm not talking about salvation in time, which will come. Other sheep I have, them I must bring. And He's bringing them. But here, when we're talking about the purchase here, and that word is something. God purchased His church. This is the work of God entirely. This is the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Understand this, man hasn't purchased anything. The only thing man's got, he's earned, and that's the wages of sin, which is death. And I looked at this word, when I looked at this word purchase, and I was pretty much expecting to see the same word that is translated redeemed or purchased in other places. There are two main words translated redeemed in the New Testament. One of them means redeemed, purchased. The other one means ransom. That's another word that is translated redeemed. He's ransomed us, bought us. The illustration is to like purchase with money. There is another word they translate redeemed, and actually, and I like this one, it means to go to the market and purchase. I like that one, Walter. What's that? Jesus Christ came here to buy us. Jesus Christ came here to purchase the church of God. That's good. Those are great words. But this word is only used in two places in the in the New Testament, which says which he hath purchased with his own blood. This word purchased here means this. Well, the secondary meaning of it is to buy. The primary definition of this word purchase is to make around one's self. Now, man, that hit me pretty good. I like that. The church of God, which God has made around himself. Oh, I like that. Other sheep I have, them I must bring. And there's going to be one flock and one shepherd. Where's that flock going to be? It's going to be around him. He's made them around himself. He's made them around himself. Because there's a bit of creation in this word. He takes those things which are not and says that they are. And he takes us, who all we had was a dead, sinful nature, and brings us in, gives us life, and brings us in around himself.